Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this movie for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Right, thank you so much for joining us. This is the second episode of
Second Breakfast.
Yep.
So good, we had it twice.
So good. It was bacon and man, baked beans and eggs.
As American, I don't know if I can handle baked beans in the morning. I know like I know it's like not weird, but
and for sausage.
Me, feels strange.
Oh, sausage. I miss sausage. I miss like real good sausage, you know. I just haven't found any sausage here that I like. But, you know, sausage and baked beans. It's a good combination. Goes down.
So, as Sloan said, we are on The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
The dragon.
So, if you have not listened to the first episode, stop. Turn back. Go back. Go to the last episode. Put the brakes on. Because you're going to enjoy it even more if you listen to it in context with everything.
Yes. Yeah, this is like, I'm having a good time. Like, I'm going through the book. I'm going through Hobbit the second time. And
well, more than the second time. You've listened to it a lot.
Probably a lot, you know, but I'm enjoying it. I'm just like, you know, loving the lore and all those lessons. Because I finished the Silmarillion. Oh, my gosh. Like I'm struggling to say it. Silmarillion, and it is awesome. Like it's just so much like kind of backstory. I like that. We touch on that a little bit in these movies.
The podcast.
Yes, I mean in the movie, the movies.
Oh, I got
in the movies, but yeah, we'll touch on it in the podcast. Yes. Yeah.
So, Shalom has offered to do the summary for this movie.
The summary.
And then we'll move into rating it.
Oh my gosh.
And then we got some fun questions and a hot take.
Okay, so here's what happens in this book.
Movie.
In this movie. Sorry, in this movie. Right. So, the dwarves are on the run. The party is on the run. And they end up at Bjorn's house where they spend a night. And then they have to go through Mirkwood. Gandalf goes off to Dumbledore to investigate, where he ends up getting captured by the enemy. Then the dwarves go through Mirkwood. They get captured by the spiders.
Oh, no.
But because of Bilbo, they escape. And Bilbo's ring, because he can go invisible now. The ring is stole from Sméagol. He then rescues them. And then they end up getting captured by the elves. And then they escape from the elves. And then they end up in Lake Town. And then they go up to Erebor to get, you know, to burglar.
He's gonna
burgle. Then there's a confrontation between the party, minus Gandalf, who is off at Dumbledore. They confront Smaug. Smaug ends up getting really angry, and then he's like, I want revenge, and he goes towards Lake Town to destroy it, and that's where we end. It's a
it's a movie.
That's the movie. Plus a lot of like kind of like little things that happen that I don't know if they're important or not. We'll discuss.
Up for discussion. Okay, so we're going to rank this movie. We have five categories. A movie can get up to 5 stars. So you can get up to 1 star in each of the following categories. We have script, acting, cinematography, essence, and the X factor. So Shalom and I score it, and then we average the score, and that is what the movie gets.
Yep.
So let's start with script. What would you give it, Shalom?
Script. I give it half. To be honest, the movie flows pretty weird for me. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, are we not done yet? Like, it's, the, you know, like, and the interactions are too serious. I feel like the book is funnier. Mm. You know, the book is funny.
The book is very lighthearted.
Right, very lighthearted. Very, very funny. Even, I mean, a good example is when they're captured by the spiders, right? Mm-hmm. Bilbo, like, sings to annoy the spiders, you know, you know, and I felt like you lost some of that like goofiness in the mm-hmm. in the movie, and even the capture when they get captured by the elves, mm-hmm. minus Bilbo, you know, it's interesting. The conversations are interesting. There's history behind it. I feel like they didn't keep it interesting. I feel like they just piled up storyline after storyline after storyline mm-hmm. in this movie. So basically, I mean, Milkwood is almost like an episode by itself. Mm-hmm. Lake Town and, you know, Erebor, that's an episode in itself. And then Gandalf is kind of like, it's another thing just happening by itself.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like there's all these things that are happening that they decided to expand on, but it created this plot that almost like kind of throws us all over the place. And I was kind of like, are we done? This needs to end. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the feeling that I had. Mm-hmm.
So I actually give a full star for script. I agree with what you're saying, but I put those under different categories, not so much script, because when I look at this, I think a lot of the interactions are genuine. There's a lot of really fun parts of this script. There are things that I really, really love, which is interesting because I'm going to take off points from them later, but I'm giving it a full point here. Do you ever notice I always switch back between points and stars? I feel like Michael Scott in that one episode where Pam is like, Pam's like, so far we have a smiley face, a star, a point. That's what I do. Anyway, so I think I take off some things later, but there are some things that I really love. I love the barrel riding scene. Like, I absolutely freaking love that. Like so many points for that. I just think it's so much fun. I think looking at it, so much fun. I think that they, scripting wise, I enjoyed it. Overall,
you should enjoy interactions and the conversations.
Like what we get to see, I enjoy those things. But I'm actually going to take off some points later on because of those scenes that they added. Which sounds counterintuitive.
I hear what you're saying.
But I'm not going to take it away here in this category specifically.
Yeah, I disagree, but I hear where you're coming from. I think definitely there's an element of, you know, you enjoy. So are you saying you enjoyed the whole movie as a whole, like watching the whole movie flow
from the scripting from the scripting point of view? I give it a full star.
Like the conversations were on point. Yeah. Everything was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everything makes sense. I'm not like, oh, how did we get here? How did we get there? How did we get here? Like,
right.
Everything scripting wise, I think makes sense.
Right. Right. It flow wise is that it flows in terms. It makes sense.
Yes. Makes sense.
But I feel like they made such an attempt to make it exciting. Like that's my view. That they end up just saturating the movie and that ended up being like a bit too much for me, but I hear you.
I see that. What about acting?
One I mean, the actors are phenomenal. Just so much goodness there. And then, you know, enter Orlando Bloom, who is a phenomenal actor, and I felt like that was a really cool addition. And I kind of like the, you know, kind of the elves are pretty, like the guys who act the elves are pretty cool, you know, alongside Orlando Bloom. And, you know, I felt like there's just so much, there was a lot of, like, the interactions are pretty cool, you know, between, you know, Orlando Bloom and Wasp.
The Wasp.
But I felt like that their interactions were cool. They really embodied what like an elf is, you know, like it's very, there's this majestic element that they have that I thought was something that was was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it really came together for me. So I give it one. I have no complaints there. Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever take off a point for acting. Ever. True. I have complaints in lots of other places, but I think as far as...
You mean in these movies?
Yeah, in these movies, I don't think I would take... And going into Lord of the Rings, I don't think I would take off any points for acting. I think they have phenomenal actors. I think they're great at directing their actors.
Yeah, like, you can almost assume it's going to be one.
Yeah, time. You can just like pretty much assume like going through here like it's going to be one.
I think
they did a good job.
Mm, I hear that.
What about cinematography?
Yeah, I give it one. I love the CGI. Like I feel like it's cool. Like I like that the orcs are more lifelike, but the orcs are more BA. Like in the books, the orcs are scary. That's like when you're like, oh my gosh, like slash the goblins, like they, oh my gosh, they attacked someone. Like it's actually a big deal. You know, it's in the movies, it's kind of like they're like zombies, right? Like, you know, zombie movie, they swarm on someone and then like you can get killed if like there are too many of them. like what happened to Boromir, you know, like that sort of situation. Boromir. So it's like, but they're actually BA creatures. They are a mockery of elves, you know, Melkor, also known as Morgoth, he created the goblins slash orcs to mock, Eru, the chief antagonist in the Tolkien verse. Like so Melkor created the orcs to mock him, but they are pretty BA. They fight well. Like they're not just like, you know, stupid, you know, like they're actually kind of smart as well. And so that, seeing that a bit more in this movie was kind of cool to see. Like they scare me more than in the movies. You know, in the movies it's more of like, oh my gosh, there's so many of them. You know, that was the scary part.
Book? I'm confused. You think that in the book they're scarier than they are in the movies?
No.
All the movies?
No. In the Lord of the Rings movies, an orc by itself is not scary. It's kind of goofy, right?
Yeah.
They're scary when it's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that's the movie. That's the movie scenario. Then we get to, or rather, that's the Lord of the Rings movie scenario. Yeah. Then we get to Hobbit. One orc is scary because it moves faster, moves quicker. And in a sense, they're kind of smarter. They're like, we pierced him with a poisonous arrow and we're tracking him down. So they're kind of scary. They're menacing, even though, you know, that BS, that's nowhere in the books. But they made the orcs scarier, which I think kind of ties to the books a little better in that the orcs in the books are actually, you know, really scary. Mm-hmm. Really scary. A confrontation with an orc is, unless if you're a great warrior, it's a fight. It's a fight, you know. And so that's something that I appreciated, even though they're just making stuff up, you know. <this movie. laughs> Just making it all up. Not all of it, but they're just making stuff up. They're just like, oh, you know, like, let's put Father Christmas in there. You all be at it. But anyways.
You're so rude. So I give it 3/4 stars for cinematography. I think there are such gorgeous, gorgeous CGI moments.
Mm.
The whole thing is just gorgeous.
Right.
Like, their shots are beautiful, all that. I took off a quarter star. I did it last time, too. I just don't like their I don't like their CGI of the orcs.
Yeah.
And I know that's a preference thing, but it's not consistent with the Lord of the Rings.
It's not consistent.
Like, if they didn't want to do like the makeup, the actual makeup,
yeah,
I get that. It's a lot. It's a lot to put actors through. But at least make them look consistent. Like, make them actually look the same as what you had. Because there's not that much of a time difference between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. There's not that big of a time difference.
Right.
So it's like, the orcs should basically look the same. This isn't like, oh, thousands of years later. It's like, oh, they might look different. Like, no, they're not going to look that different. So that's my biggest thing that I really don't like.
I hear that.
Again, cinematography-wise, some of my favorite scenes of all time pretty much like boost that up. Like, I love the barrel riding scene. I think it's so much fun. I absolutely love, I always call it Ra's al Ghul. What is it actually called? Jalam?
Dumbledore.
I love that as well. Like set design wise, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Right.
All their shots, like most of their CGI, I really, really love. But yes. Yeah, the orcs, I just find inconsistent, and that makes me really annoyed.
Right. So I hear what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from. I guess I'm judging it as a like, hey, you're a CGI guy. You work as a CGI guy. Let me rate you as a CGI guy. Mm-hmm. And for that, I gave it for that. One. Yeah. Not necessarily looking at the... But also, there's a big part of me that appreciates how more consistent I think I feel it's to the book. Mm-hmm, orcs in the books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So what about essence? What would you give for essence?
Essence of the book?
Yeah, essence of the book. What would you give this?
I give it a quarter.
Yeah.
I give it a quarter. So, you know, because I think the elements that are true a little bit, you know, there's I mentioned the elves, right? And there's a history behind the elves and I was about to say the Vikings and the dwarves, right?
They do look like little Vikings. Little Vikings.
But like that history is pretty, like, it's pretty bitter. There's some bitter parts where, like, you know, where a great king, you know, he gave the dwarves a job to do some work with gold, and, you know, and then once they're done their projects, you know, the dwarves wouldn't give him back, you know, because I think there was a Silmaril, like, which is like a precious, it's a really like, it was made in the, you know, the heavenly land, so to speak. And it was really precious. And the dwarves got greedy and they ended up killing the king and running away. Right. Huge. And so then there was this whole fight, you know, between dwarves and elves. It's all in a similar area. And so they fight each other. And so there's that weird, it's kind of like a bitter story between dwarves and elves. And so there's almost like a distrust. And also, like, I mean, the relationship between dwarves and elves it's weird. There's some really weird stories there. Like, you know, that gave opportunity to distrust. I feel like you experienced that with Thorin. But what I hate about, you know, about that as well is that they could have gone the direction of that. Like, dig into the history of the dwarves and elves. Let's talk about that. Let's really like embrace, you know, Tolkienverse, right? And then they create some BS story of, you know, the king of the elves, you know,
standing
like
on top, you
standing
hate that.
Top of the hill, you hate that. And he's like, he's just like chilling there, you know. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I'm like, to be honest, I'm like, you could have embraced such a beautiful tale of, you know, of that you see in the Silmarillion that really represents, you know, like a deep bitterness, a much deeper bitterness than what they tried to kind of conjure up in these movies. And so, yeah, so I give it a quarter because it really goes far. And then other things as well in the whole movie that Beorn is poorly represented in here. And even that whole encounter is goofier in the books. You know, Gandalf is actually really smart.
Yeah.
You know, he tells an interesting tale. He knows how to you know, endear Beorn and by telling him a story, because Beorn loves stories.
Yeah.
And then whilst doing that, he's introducing three more people. And it's a really funny part. But they never go down that road. Instead, they show us a bear chasing them into his house. And then the very next day, that same bear is like serving them food. I'm like, what? Yeah. What is wrong with you? Oh, and no, it's like I did not enjoy that at all. So I give them, and I'm being generous. I'm being generous by giving them a quarter. Like, I probably should give them less, but I was pretty disturbed by that.
Oh, thank you, the mighty Shalom. So generous.
I am generous.
So I also gave a quarter, but for very different reasons than you. So I think in them adding a lot of some of my favorite scenes to this movie. They also just completely went away from the plot of the book completely.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about The Hobbit is, like, it is silly. Like, it's just mm-hmm. so silly. The whole mm-hmm. thing is silly. And, like, and Bilbo is just, like, this unexpected hero. And he's smart and he's witty. And we do get to see parts of that. Mm. But at the same time, they start adding all of these, like, weird things. Like, what is up with Lake Town? Like, Lake Town's not poor. Mm. Lake Town actually has a really, really good relationship with Mirkwood. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the whole reason that they get off the path in Mirkwood, speaking of Mirkwood, the whole reason they get off the path is because they're trying, they're so hungry, they're actually trying to see the Mirkwood mm-hmm. elves. Yes. Like, they're trying mm-hmm. to see them, and then that's how they get off the path and they get all confused. Mm-hmm. Although I really do love the visual representation of them off the path in Mirkwood. Like, mm-hmm. I love when Bilbo looks back and he sees himself looking at him, and they're like, whoa. This is the same exact, like, what was it that they dropped on the ground? Like, this is the same exact thing that I own. Right, like, that right. is yours. Like, and it's just like, and seeing all of them and, like, yeah. Mm, so there are some things that I think that they did really well. And then same thing, like, Bjorn, like, that was, it was a big deal seeing him. And they made up this weird story about how, like, he's the only one because, like, all the other skin changers got, like, taken. I'm like, what the heck is that story about? Yeah, like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got all this, like, added weirdness of, like, just other characters being added in. Like, all the orc drama. I'm just like, none of this happened.
Yeah.
Healy, like, what was up with that? Like, right. you know, like, right. him getting poisoned and then this love story with this new, like, she-elf, like, I think maybe they didn't want it to just look like they had, like, a male-dominated movie.
Hmm.
And in some ways, like, I give them props for that because I do think that the Tolkien universe has some very strong females in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, and I'm, like, quite a feminist. Sometimes I think, like, in adding sometimes, you can take away a little bit. Because now we have this weird love story and it's kind of like, well, where did that come from? And it feels forced.
Yeah, it does.
It feels forced in. So, yeah, I was not too happy with that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it just is like lack of trust of the book sometimes. Like not trusting that the book carries its own weight in terms of entertaining people. But it's like, no, like the people, that's what makes something memorable. You know, because for me, I'm like, Lord of the Rings doesn't stray too far from the path. They are very, very, very close. Yeah. To the story, right? And so because of that, it's something that is so memorable because Tolkien's writing is so memorable. And I feel like in The Hobbit, they got so carried away that they end up being like going so far off the path that it lost its memorability, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just something that I thought was a shame.
Yeah.
It was a shame. And also Bilbo in the mountain, his confrontation with Smaug is more witty.
Yeah,
you know, he's very more witty. He's a little overconfident. He gets really overconfident and talks too much, you know, and so that's what sort of enrages Smaug and causes like barrel rider.
Yeah,
I'm gonna destroy, you know, and that confrontation is pretty cool. Like, I mean, it's cool seeing the dragon. I love how the dragon stands up. It's like, what do you think now? You know?
Yeah.
But in the book, it's so much better. He's so good. He's like, wow, you look so cool. He's like, really? Like, it's kind of yeah. like he's really like
kind of shiny,
right? Because dragons.
Oh, that's the other scene that they added right. that I felt like really strayed far. Is like the whole Smaug scene where he's just like it. Like we have this whole scene where they're like fighting him in like the dwarf caves, and I'm like I'm like, what the heck is this? Like this didn't happen. Like
right, completely unnecessary. Yeah, the way they could have done. But I think that, you know, I feel like a lot of the writers were in this mind of people want action, people want movement, people want this, forbidden romance, you know, and I think sometimes like writers get so carried away with that nonsense that sometimes they won't pay enough homage to some really good quality writing, which Tolkien, I mean, he was like, he's probably the best of all the fantasy writers that I know, in my view. And mm-hmm. and I feel like they missed an opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about X Factor?
I give it a quarter.
I give it zero.
Okay. I think I have moments where I'm like, huh, I'd like to see some dwarves. I want to see some. Like, I mean, no, not even because I want to see the movie, but because I'm like, you know what? Like, I just want to imagine what that looked like. And sometimes I love those visualizations. Mm. So when Lord of the Rings, I want to watch the movie. I want to mm-hmm. enjoy. I want to be in there. I want to see Sam. I want to see Frodo. I want to see like Gandalf. I want to see all of. I want to experience the story. But in this one, it's kind of like more. I think it's more visual, wanting to experience mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. visuals. And that's the only reason. That's the only reason, really, that I want to see it. So it's a quarter. Mm-hmm. If I could break it down between quarter and zero, maybe fine. But that's two. No, yeah,
we're not doing that. So I give it zero because this is the most middle movie of all middle movies that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I feel like everything happens and nothing happens at the same time. Mm. It's like the craziest thing. And I literally was watching this movie and I was 45 minutes into it and I was like, what else could possibly happen? Like, we should be there by now. Mm. And I think it's because it's what you said earlier. I think they tried to shove too much action into this one mm-hmm. because it's like you go here and you go here and then you go here and then you go here mm-hmm. and you go here and you're like introduced to so many places. It's almost like too much. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's almost mm-hmm. too much. Yeah. And what I really think happened is that they had enough content for two solid right. movies. Mm-hmm. And instead of just saying The Hobbit Part 1 and The Hobbit Part 2, instead they were like,
stretched it.
They're like, you only make trilogies. Mm. So instead of giving the story the breathing room to just be the story that it needed to be, instead they tried to make it fit into three movies. Because I really think that parts of this movie could go into the previous movie and parts of it could go into the next movie. And you could have easily split these events into just two movies instead.
If you really think about it, it could have been one movie, to be honest. Like, I think if you remove, and I know you love this, The White Council, and you don't spend too much time on that, because all of that is kind of, it's a separate subject. Even the way Tolkien treats it, he treats it as a separate subject. He doesn't touch on it.
That's true.
Except at the end when Gandalf is sort of like, he's
talking to Bilbo.
He's talking to Bilbo. And so that, like, I feel like that was, in a sense, an overreach where they could have done one, even 3-hour movie.
Well, that's what really, I'm saying. Like, it's like they had enough content. It's like they had enough content for like 1.5 movies.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
they made it. And I'm like, okay, 1.5, you can make that 2. Like, you can make that happen.
You make it 2.
And then they, instead they make it 3. Mm. And then, like, this movie is just like, I feel like the only reason I watch this movie is to get to the next movie. Because I really do truly enjoy the first movie. The first Hobbit movie. And then this movie, like, I could skip and be totally fine.
Yeah.
But then the next movie I think is okay.
It's all right.
But cool. It's just, this is the most middle movie of all middle movies.
Yeah.
And I just really, absolutely. I never want to watch this movie ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ever. I never feel like it.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
So, drumroll shalom. So you gave it 3 stars and I gave it 3 stars. So it averages to 3 stars.
3 stars. Is this the first time we've had similar scores?
We agree sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Once in a while.
So I've got a few questions before we move on to the hot take.
Okay.
So one of the scenes that I always find kind of interesting is when Bilbo, he has the ring like in his pocket, right? Mm-hmm. And Gandalf asks him, he's like, is there anything you want to tell me or something like that? And it looks like Bilbo's about to tell Gandalf about the ring. Mm. Why do you think Bilbo didn't tell Gandalf?
I think he just thought Gandalf would take it from him. Because Gandalf is old and wise.
Like, it's already got a hold on him.
Kind of. I think so. I mean, he had the ring for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. To his 111th birthday. But, which is, you know, really cool. But I think he was afraid that Gandalf would take the ring from him.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, and I think also the ring, I think the ring made him feel special. Like, he kind of, he wasn't really feeling like a burglar up until the point when he got the ring. And right. he, like, sneaks up on the guys.
Right.
You know, when they get out of the goblin thing, he sneaks up on them and, like, all that stuff. So I think he was finally starting to really feel like a burglar, and this made him feel that way. And I think he was worried about losing it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, what are your thoughts on the addition of Legolas and I think it's Tauriel?
Tauriel. No.
In this movie.
Yeah.
No. No. No.
To be honest, that's really my thoughts. Like, it's like, no, it's just way too much fan service. Like, it's like, I'm like, you guys, like, you know, I was about to say something insulting about Rise of Skywalker, but but to be honest, that's kind of how I felt. I felt like, I'm like, we're not children, you don't need to give me like a teaspoon of sugar with this, you know, like just give me like a proper movie, then you don't have to add like, oh my gosh, here's Legolas, be happy, you know, because I feel like that's what they were doing. They weren't really, you know, they were kind of just like, they throw in someone that they think was Legolas is kind of like a favorite in the movies. Yeah, he's kind of like a favorite. He's like the
him and Gimli. People love it,
right? But Legolas, especially when it comes to like fight scenes, his scenes are like, he's the way he gets on the horse. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, in Return of the King,
is
probably one of the most favorite like action moments, you know, ever, right? And so if you're a poor fan fiction fans, like he really like is loved. And I think that I felt like it's kind of like a moment of like doing this movie that where they're not really respecting the true essence of the book, and then they're like, but here's Legolas. So I felt kind of condescended, like on like I, the, that's how I felt, at least. Like, I felt it kind of upset me. And then Tauriel, you know, like, I just, for me,
I love,
like,
her as an actress.
I love her as an actress, phenomenal. Like, in
and she's
in
a good elf
in MCU. Oh my gosh. And right, and she's a good elf.
She's a really good elf. She's
probably like a better elf than Arwen.
What about Liv Tyler?
Liv Tyler.
I speak really. Right,
but she's just like, oh, so beautiful.
And she was in Hulk.
Like, oh, you know,
you can't even talk about her as Veronica and Hulk.
But she elves and he elves. They're not a monolith. So they do their own thing, because there's Galadriel as well, who's got her own vibe.
I like
so
her.
They each of them has. It was kind of cool just to see like one that's like down and dirty right there in the battle scene. I mean, Galadriel gets down and dirty. But
I also like
in a different way
a lot of her lines, because she talks a lot about like being more than just for the kingdom. Mm. Like, she's the whole reason why she's like, hey, they're going to go like fight this dragon, and this dragon is going to like attack. And then there's also these orcs that are like attacking, like all this bad stuff is happening. Mm. And you're gonna keep us just like in our kingdom, like we're part of this world too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think sometimes the elves forget, because they're so freaking old that like sometimes I think they forget that they're actually part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to just watch it happen.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Like, and there's a history behind that. Like, there's a history behind elves and dragons, you know, like that's actually a pretty deep cut.
Which is why it's cool that one argument between Thor and I forget how to say it, Thranduil,
yeah, something like that.
Their argument is pretty cool, and I really like the CGI of like when he lets his like true face show, and he's got all the burns from the Dragon Wars.
Yeah, yeah, like guys like Thranduil, like they have a very they know. Dragons well, you know, because before that, the final battle where the eagles, you know, who play a very important part in the history of Middle Earth, before they destroy a lot of the dragons, you know, the dragons were a big problem. You know, there's actually a whole battle that's known as, I think it's called the Battle of the Fire or something like that, where, you know, elves really suffered. And so like elves are kind of like really afraid of dragons.
Mm.
You know, they're actually scared of them in a sense. Dragons also have magical powers. Like, they can like put you under a spell.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so depending on which dragon it is, they have different ways of like making you freeze or stuff like that. So elves actually have a fear of, mm-hmm. of Dragon. So I understand kind of his, like his, which is why I kind of like some of those little things that mm-hmm. they did that are pretty close to what the book is in terms of where I can, in my mind, but I've tied those things in my head. Mm-hmm. They don't really just kind of like say some of those things and be like, you know, the history of elves, like, you know, this historical stuff. And so, yeah, I thought in my mind, I was like, okay, like, I get it, but then taking it to the point of like the whole love's like being in love and being like, you know, that stuff like that. I was like, no, like you don't have to do that. Yes, there is the idea of, you know, men falling in love with elf and so forth. Like it's a pretty big deal in Tolkienverse, mm-hmm. you know, like where you're Beren and Luthien, you know, which is like a huge deal. So they do have like this healthy respect for, you know, kind of cross love. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the way they did it didn't really like pay homage to that properly. It was like they just threw that in there as like a romance thing, like you know, like a in the movies, like forbidden romance, Romeo and Juliet, and I just felt like that was not appropriate to what the book really is about.
I mean, one, just a little bit of pushback, like one could argue that Legolas could have been in Mirkwood at this time, because it is true that his dad was in Mirkwood.
Right.
So it's like, you could argue, although it wasn't mentioned in The Hobbit, it's kind of implied in The Hobbit that he would probably be there with his dad. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that weird that he's there. Mm-hmm. I think what is a little strange, though, is these movies, The Hobbit was made almost like 20 years later from Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And they had to do so much CGI on Orlando Bloom.
The point that we don't even recognize him.
Honestly, the bro who plays Bard looks more like Orlando Bloom.
I was waiting for him to just go kill the beast.
Right? I know. And then every time we watch this, we have to watch Beauty and the Beast. anyway, he looks more like Orlando Bloom than Orlando Bloom looks like Orlando Bloom. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading up on that a little bit, and due to the age difference, Orlando Bloom couldn't do nearly as many stunts as he could do in the first movie, in Lord of the Rings. I mean, in Lord of the Rings, he did most of his stunts, of his stunts. Whereas in this one, they had to use a stunt double for most of his stuff, which is why it does look so non-congruent with like Orlando Bloom versus his like stunt double. Like you can visually really see it. Mm. And also they had weird contacts in for him. Did you notice that?
His eyes look weird. Like very it's just strange. So much weird stuff.
Yeah, like, they
got really weird. They got really carried away.
Weird with it. I was also doing some like reading up on like what people think of the of the Turiel and Keeley romance. And most people basically just feel like they made Keeley look like the in quotes hot dwarf on purpose,
right?
Because like dwarves are not supposed to be cute.
They're not
like they're actually what makes dwarves cute to other dwarves is being super bearded and like have these like crazy beards and stuff. Like I would argue that Bomber, my favorite dwarf, the chubby one, is probably the most handsome in dwarf culture.
Is that your hot take?
My hot take is Bomber is the best dwarf.
Bomber is the hottest, guys. Let's just get real here.
Let's talk about Bomber.
Just get that dad bod on.
Let me tell you why I love Bomber. When Bomber fights, he literally uses his stomach as a weapon.
Yeah, I would.
And he uses his big boom boom to to stoke the fire when they're trying to fight Smaug.
And he's fast.
And he's the fastest. When he's running from Bear Bjorn.
Oh my gosh.
He's so freaking fast. Shalom and I are Bomber fans.
Bomber. Wow.
Every time he comes out, we're like, yeah!
Like, you know, like, I hear that. I hear, like, it's kind of like this. They commercialized the movie. I think that's the best way I can put it. They wanted to make it more commercial, more mainstream. And I, to be honest with you, I call it the God complex where a producer, or writer, or an artist get praise for doing one thing, and then they do the next thing, and they absolutely have no respect for, you know, what gave them success in the first place, and which is the book. And they, I feel like they did not respect the book well enough for it to be something that I can say is memorable. And in my view, I mean, the rating is pretty good in terms of the tomato meter. They got a pretty good score when it comes to audience score.
But yeah, it was still like 80-something percent.
I have a feeling if you're a true Tolkien fan, you probably give it a very low rating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because already Lord of the Rings gets flack for a lot of things, you know, and which we'll talk about. But this movie actually, like, it does worse. You know, it actually goes, you know, they created a full story, underlying storyline of them being hunted and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And then they create a love story. And then there's also the storyline of the elves and the dwarves, where the actual stories from the book, the actual concept, even the anger of the orcs and the goblins, you know, in this book, the anger, and even the wolves are smart. They can talk. They sing and everything.
They pretty much replace the goblins with the orcs for the most part, except for the one part when they're in the cave and they kill the Goblin King.
Exactly.
They pretty much replace them.
They created two kinds of things. I'm like, aren't you complicating this? Like, you could have made it interesting where it's like they kill the Goblin King and then they're angry, and then the goblins and the wargs create an alliance to chase them down and to raid and to do crazy stuff. Because yes, there is a hunt. They are hunting them down, you know, because in the book, Björn goes off like to the point where the wargs and the orcs almost killed, you know, the party, and he actually, like, you know, chases some of the, I think he catches one of the goblins and kind of interrogates it.
He wants to make sure that their story is true.
Yeah, and then he kills it, and then, you know, like, and stuff like that. And so it's like, but the story is basically like, we are hunting them down. Like, they're being hunted down.
Yeah.
So the hunt, there is a hunt that's happening, but it's the story is not as, you know, like, as deep as, you killed, my name is Anna Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die. it's more simple, reference. But it's more, there's almost like a The Hobbit is such a beautiful tale where you could look at it, and my hot take is going to be in there where you're like, there's no reason why you're doing this journey, you know?
Mm.
But there's almost like a romance, but not love between man and woman, but like a tragedy to the movie that's beautiful, you know? And Bilbo's journey, Bilbo's, the relationships that are created.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's beautiful, and I feel like they missed that.
Yeah. So to change subjects, because I feel like we've kind of hit on a few topics a few times. We haven't talked about Lake Town at all. So what did you think about, like, that ends up being like a bulk of this movie is the fleshing out of Lake Town. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah. That was just another waste as well, in my view, where they do spend a lot of time in Lake Town in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get there, people are happy, they're excited, they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to get so much gold, you know? And I mean, the master is kind of corrupt as well. He's kind of like a bad guy.
But he's not really in it.
Yeah, but he plays along, like he lets them stay. He actually lets Thorin sit on his chair, you know? But in his mind, he's kind of going like, these guys aren't for real. Like, he doesn't really believe. But they then go off. They leave Lake Town with no incident, you know? Like, and so I feel like in the movie, they wanted more out of it. And so, like, which I don't agree with. I'm just like, I think our general consensus between the two of us is like, you could have shortened this whole experience. It could be shorter. Remove anything that's not there. That never happens. Don't add it. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, stick with the book. And you'll find yourself having two movies at the most. And so, and I feel like Lake Town is just another great example of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like they wanted us to feel for Lake Town so that when Smaug does destroy it, like, we get that emotional feeling. Like, So I do get where the writers are coming from, but I kind of feel like it's unnecessary. And they also add an undertone, which I mentioned before, where it's like, Lake Town isn't like this poor place, really.
Right.
Like, yes, the master dude, like, he is corrupt, but like, not like they're doing okay. They have this whole like they have this whole trading agreement with the elves of Mirkwood. Like, they're doing fine. Like, they're doing absolutely fine, and they're really excited when they find out the dwarves are there. Like, no one's chasing them down. Like, none of that drama. Yeah. Like, none of that's there. I think that they maybe just wanted us to, like, feel for Bard so that we would really, like, cheer him on when he does kill Smaug in the next movie.
Yes.
And so that, like, when in the Battle of Five Armies, like, I think they wanted us to feel, like, a little bit conflicted because, like, like, yeah, we want to cheer for the dwarves, right? We want to cheer for Thorin. Like, they want the heart of the mountain, you know? Like, we're, like, excited for them to, like, get to the end of their journey.
Right.
But at the same time, we also, I think they wanted feel us to feel the conflict of, like, just give the elves what they deserve. Just give, like, the men, like, what they deserve. Like, share it. Like, there's no reason for you to, like, hoard it, you know? Like, I think that they wanted to create that kind of, like, tension within us so that we're not just cheering for one side, like there's a little bit more complexity to it. So in that way, like, I kind of do like the fleshing out of Lake Town, but I also kind of hate it at the same time because when I think about it, I'm like, this could have been two movies. Like, you're just adding a bunch of stuff that doesn't really need to be here.
Yeah.
So, but Bard is one of my favorite characters. I like him as a character, and I like later on when he comes to bargain with Thorin and all that, like, I do enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, he's less of a character in the book. Like, he's a character, but
he's part a character, of the, but he's the Battle not, Five
Armies, but he's not like, oh my gosh, this guy is so important. Like, it's very
he's just there.
Yeah, like he kind of like shows up.
I mean, to be honest, like, in the book, like, none of the dwarves really have that much personality either. You know, but yet we know our favorite dwarf from the movie,
right?
So in some ways it's like, that's where like movie magic is, where it's like, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. I mean,
to do it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it takes away from the essence a little bit of the original.
Yeah. I'd almost say Bomba is pretty distinct in the book. Like, I mean, he's very like,
he's chubby tummy.
Yeah. He's very, they mention him a lot distinctly in different scenes where like he falls into
which is why I think he does get like the most like screen time a little bit. As compared to some of the others. Cause he is one of the dwarves that actually gets mentioned the most.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
Besides Thorin.
Yes. So I think one final thought on this movie is Bilbo himself. I feel like Bilbo is kind of damped down a little bit. His confrontation with Smaug is really, it's not a coincidence, because you actually realize in the book that he knows a lot of dragon lore. So he understands dragons. So he knows how to talk to him. He knows that you don't just say no to a dragon. You almost like play a game, riddles, and you say all these like things, but they enjoy riddles. And his performance with the dragon in the book is more masterful than, of course, he gets too cocky towards the end. But in the book, they kind of make him very timid and very in the movie, they make him more timid, more. And I love the actor. Like, he's one of my favorite actors of all time. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, he can do no wrong. But I feel like in the public could have made him generally in the movie, they could have made him more, just more like, make him more impressive, you know? Because even when they're captured by the wood elves, he stays there. He's hiding.
Yeah.
He's like hiding and stealing for a month.
It's like a ridiculous stealing amount their of time.
Food, you know, all the stuff. So he's an impressive person. And I feel like they kind of take that away a little bit by dumbing him down. And they could have done better. So those are my final thoughts.
Cool. Are you ready for your hot take?
I'm ready for my hot take. Pew, okay. Pew, pew.
So Shalom has 1 minute, 60 seconds on the clock to present his Hobbit hot take.
My Hobbit hot take.
He's getting the timer ready.
Ready?
Yep.
Start. Okay. So my Hobbit hot take is this journey is pointless. There's no reason to be going to Erebor. Just stay at home. Move on with your lives. Because there's a much bigger battle coming out. Because in all honesty, you know, it does. If you look at the aftermath of everything, I mean, it does. There is the relationship that comes between, you know, where between Bilbo and the dwarves, and in Lord of the Rings, the book, you kind of see that connection a bit, you know, with Gimli. I mean, who is, you know, the son of one of the dwarves who are in the company. But if you really look at the journey itself, I feel like in my mind, I'm like, you guys don't need to go there. You don't need to go up the mountain and try and challenge the dragon. The dragon is dossing. He's sleeping. He's not going anywhere. Everyone is fine. But they had to go, and the Lake Town got destroyed.
Interesting hot take.
Stay home, stay safe.
Stay home, stay safe. I kind of agree, because it's like, let sleeping dragons lie. Like, why are we doing this right now? Because
they sleep for a long time.
Yeah, they sleep for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be fine. You just don't mess with it. Uh-huh. But at the same time, what is adventure without a little, like, mm-hmm. you know, danger?
I agree. Like, I love Tolkien's mind. There's something about his ability of telling a tragic story. Because it's tragic. Like, you know, like even from Silmarillion, he writes these tragic, tragic stories. You know, if you're a Tolkien fan and you haven't read Silmarillion, I would do that. If not, just do the book of, you know, The Children of Húrin. Like, it's a tragic, painful story, but it's beautiful.
You love
it's,
sad things.
But it's beautiful. It's like there's a beauty of courage. There's a beauty of resilience. There's a beauty of, you know, facing something where you're like, okay, probably everyone is going to die here, but we're going to do it anyways. And in the book, you know, Thorin dies, and that's a sad, sad ending. But there's a beauty to that whole journey, of Bilbo's journey. There's a beauty to that, and the relationships and the connections. And Frodo, he really benefits from that.
Yeah.
Like, Frodo, you know, really, like, cashes the check, basically, like, from the relationship that was there. And so that's just something that I find, like, very interesting about Tolkien's writing. You know, his ability to just be a tragedy writer. You know, Lord of the Rings, if Lord of the Rings is not tragic, Lord of the Rings is like, you know, it's actually the beautiful ending. You know, the whole thing is a beautiful ending compared to everything that happens. And I feel like The Hobbit is kind of like the final kind of scene of, you know, kind of like the tragedy of Middle Earth, you mm-hmm. know, before the redemption. And I feel like I love that. But at the same time, I'm like, if you think of it as a sensible human being, we're not going, you know, we're not going up the mountain to get gold. Like, I mean, I'm like, you guys are miners. Find somewhere else to mine. Just like,
yeah, find somewhere else to mine.
Find some goblins to kill or something. For like, find something else to get gold and, you know, live, you know, wealthy for the rest of your lives or something. I don't know. Like, but they decided they had to go back. They had to, you know, get the Arkenstone.
Does the Arkenstone have like powers?
Not really.
It's just super shiny.
It's the story of dwarves.
They find something they're not supposed to find, and it ruins everything.
Right.
This is the same thing in the Mines of Moria. They dig and they dig and they dig, and that, like, that demon thing is there. Like,
it's hiding there.
They always do this. Every time.
But I think the elves have the story of the elves is kind of, it's the similarities, right? Like, the destruction of the elves is really really caused by their obsession with the similarities. And how they decide to leave, you know, Valor, like where the gods live, and come back to Middle Earth to fight with Melkor to get the Silmarils back. And that causes so much destruction. Like, the elves that were in Middle Earth already, just chilling, are also affected by that. And so, like, there's this thing about you know, I think Tolkien, I guess, just loves that theme of greed and obsession. Mm-hmm. And maybe,
that's kind
maybe,
of the ring as yeah, well.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of like my culture, like where you take your existence, your culture, your being, your essence, and you put it into this one object. And that object, if that object ever gets stolen, you go mad like trying to get it back. It. And I feel like that's kind of maybe what is being portrayed here.
Yeah. I've been watching too much Dark Crystal lately because when you said essence, I wanted to
essence!
Go.
Essence!
Give me your essence!
We crashed it!
If you haven't watched Dark Crystal on Netflix, do it.
Yeah,
do
if you're a sci-fi, you know,
high fantasy,
it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's well done.
Side note, like, I will go on. I talk about Dark Crystal a lot, but it is probably since Lord of the Rings, my favorite high fantasy mm-hmm. of like all time, mm-hmm. like of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it so many times.
I
love it so much. Mm-hmm. It's such a great story.
It's also a tragedy in a sense. What
like it's a tragedy
it is
as well.
It is the direction they're taking right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Cool. So we're gonna round this up.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
Thank you so much for joining us. We're having a great time. Maybe not so much with this episode because we're not super enthusiastic.
We like to trash. Okay,
Shalom likes to trash. I'm like a naturally very positive person. Okay,
maybe I'm not kidding.
So Shalom's not kidding. Shalom loves trashy movies. That's like one of his favorite things to do of all time. Like, let me give you a little anecdote. So one of Shalom's favorite things to do is we'll be watching a movie and he'll start trashing it and talking over it and then I can't hear it and so I pause it and he like trashes for like two more seconds
and then I stop
and then he stops and then I'm like,
well, what's the point of trashing it if the movie is not being played?
Exactly.
I don't trash it as it happens.
So I can't hear it, so I don't know if his trashing is valid or not. So I pause it so I can listen to him and then I press play again because he stopped at this point. And he says he's done. And then he continues trashing again. And then I have to pause it again. So sometimes a 2-hour movie takes like 3 hours to watch.
I think because I love stories so much. So a lot of times I can predict where something is going.
Yeah, he's really good at predicting.
So it gets annoying. So I get annoyed, but sometimes I'll be like, ugh, this is what they're doing. You know? And so I get impatient.
I love that Shalom has not predicted
Stranger Things.
Dark Crystal, Stranger Things. Didn't predict those, and I'm like, those are my favorite. These are my favorite.
Because, like, they're not, they're really good. Like,
yeah.
They're really well
very,
put together.
Very mm-hmm. well written.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what I was saying. We're loving this. So much fun. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. On this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.
Yay! We did it. Mm-hmm.